We continue in our study in the book of James. We are in chapter 1. This morning we will be looking at verses 22 through 25. Now, last week, of course, we left off with verse 21. Let me read that to you because it's good context for what we'll be studying today. Laying aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and gentleness, receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Okay, now we'll pick up with verse 22. Become doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. This is a favorite verse of my father. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But he would quote the King James, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Let's be clear, dear friends. Listening to the word of God is of the utmost importance. And every Christian should seek to hear the word of God. Every Christian should be a word hearer. If one's at church, in your own Bible reading, in Bible studies, we should have listening ears. But James is making clear, and this is a big pastoral concern of James, that one's responsibility does not stop with the hearing. Hearing the word will do us no good if not put into practice. It will only make us more accountable. And James underlines that the hearing must lead to doing. It's not enough to hear, even if you can remember it, even if you can repeat it, even if you can teach it, even if you can assent to it and commend what it says. If it doesn't lead to doing, James says, you are deluded. We are to be a word doer, not merely a word hearer. What does deluded mean? It means to have false beliefs, often holding on to them strongly, even when faced with facts or reality. It is to make a false reckoning. As many of the English translations read, people who hear the word but do not do it are deceiving themselves. Most of you know how bad it is to be deceived by another person. And the closer the person is to you, the worse, usually the more painful the deception is. Well, here, imagine deceiving yourself. Deluding yourself, how awful that must be. In preparing this message, as I thought of self-delusion, one of the things that came to mind several times was this whole trans issue. Is anything more delusional than a man thinking he can become a woman, or a woman now thinking herself a man? And to some degree, I pity people who have been deceived and who deceive themselves into such nonsensical, wretched thinking. But you know what's even a greater concern? Do you know it's downright scary? It is one who thinks he is saved but is not. Who thinks he is a disciple of Jesus Christ but he is not. And such is one who merely hears the word but does not obey it, does not do what it says, and he still thinks he's a Christian. He is deluded. He is self-deceived. He thinks he's a disciple when he is not. He thinks he's a Christian when he is not. He thinks he has saving faith when it is a dead faith. He thinks he is forgiven, made clean when he is not. He thinks he has eternal life when he does not. Can one have Jesus as Savior without having Jesus as Lord? James and the whole scripture answers the question with an unequivocal no. Jesus preached, repent and believe the gospel. Jesus warned the churches in Ephesus and Pergamum and Thyatira, Sardis and Laodicea with the word repent. There must be a change in thinking and in practice. And we see here James with this great pastoral concern, a concern that we will see in following chapters also. Remember the previous verse to our passage today, in gentleness receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. James is exhorting and warning that this implanted word which is able to save your souls has not been truly received if one only hears and does not put that word into practice. Mental assent to the word of God is no doubt important, no doubt required, but one must be a doer of the word also. The 19th century English commentator Matthew Henry wrote, "If we were to hear a sermon every day of the week, and an angel from heaven were the preacher, yet if we rested in bare hearing, it would never bring us to heaven." We read in Hosea 8 these words, "Put the trumpet to your lips. An eagle is over the house of Yahweh, and this eagle or vulture is Assyria. An eagle is over the house of Yahweh because the people have broken my covenant and rebelled against my law. Israel cries out to me, 'Oh, our God, we acknowledge you.' But Israel has rejected what is good. An enemy will pursue him." Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 12, we have this interesting interaction. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak with you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." The Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 3, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." Now, verses 23 through 25 of our passage today in James, James 1. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he looked at himself and has gone away, he immediately forgot what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of freedom, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does." James compares the law of God to a mirror. There were mirrors in the first century ancient Near East. There were mirrors long before that. And while these mirrors were not in every home, they were fairly common. These mirrors were not made of glass. They were small handheld discs of polished metal. They and we look into mirrors to gather information and respond accordingly. Mirrors are revelatory. We look into a mirror and we see, oh, there's a smudge on my cheek. Oh, my skin looks pale. Oh, there's a piece of lettuce between my teeth. And the normal response in seeing this in the mirror is to what? It is to wash my face to get the smudge off. It might be, if my face is pale, to take my temperature to make sure that I'm not sick. Or perhaps a woman uses rouge. Or perhaps we use a floss or a toothpick and brush our teeth. James says that a hearer of the word who is not also a doer is like one who sees his face in the mirror, but he doesn't take corresponding action. He does not wash off the smudge. He does not take his temperature. He does not clean his teeth. In fact, he walks away from the mirror and he forgets about it. He forgets what he saw. The information he gathered by looking in the mirror has no impact on his subsequent actions. He continues on with the smudge, with the paleness, and with the lettuce, forgetting them, doing nothing about them. But meanwhile, others can plainly see these things. James says the law of God is like a mirror. The law is revelatory. And when we look into the law of God, we see ourselves and we see our condition. The law tells me to love my neighbor as myself. And as I look intently at that law, I see my blemishes, that I'm not loving my neighbor as myself. I do not think towards my neighbor as I should. I do not act towards my neighbor as I should. And I see through the law these moral blotches. And I must repent of this and do differently. The law tells me to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And with the help of the fuller scripture and the aid of the Holy Spirit, I think of the many ways that my actions and thoughts fall short of loving God with my whole being. And informed of this by the law of God, convicted of this, I repent and seek to live for God. In a commentary produced in 1871 called the Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible Commentary, we read these words: "As a man may behold his natural face in a mirror, so the hearer may perceive his moral visage in God's word. This is a faithful portraiture of man's soul in Scripture. In it, too, we see mirrored God's glory as well as our natural vileness." And listen to these words from Matthew Henry: "Our sins are the spots which the law discovers. Christ's blood is the laver." The laver was the washing basin in the tabernacle and in the temple Christ's blood is the laver, which the gospel shows. But in vain do we hear God's word and look into the gospel glass if we go away and forget our spots instead of washing them off, and forget our remedy instead of applying to it. Dear friends, we must be like the one who looks intently into the mirror. It's not a passing glance into the law of God. We look closely. We look keenly. We look with interest. This is how we look at the law of God. This is how we hear. This is how we listen to the word of God. No simply passing attention, no indifference, no unresponsiveness. We take it in attentively and respond correspondingly, carefully, conscientiously. And notice the nature of the law. James refers to it as the perfect law. Psalm 19, 7 through 8, which we read this morning. The law of Yahweh is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. Dear friends, you will find no misstatements in the law of God. You will find no faults in the law. Whatever you read there, if rightly understood, what you read will always be true. And it will show us the righteousness and holiness of God, and as a perfect mirror, it will expose our sinfulness, and it will show us the need of a Savior and the need of forgiveness. This is a perfect law. But James also calls it the law of freedom or the law of liberty. By the saving power of God, by the Holy Spirit at work within us, we are free from the yoke of sin, and we may and should obey God's will willingly. But also, we are free from the yoke of the ceremonial law, of the dietary laws, of the sacrificial requirements of the Old Testament law. Jesus Christ fulfilled these requirements through his life and death and resurrection, rendering the old ceremonial system obsolete. Jesus said in John chapter 8, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." It's a law of liberty. And look at the end result for the one who is both a hearer and doer of the word. James writes, "This man will be blessed in what he does." Don't you want to be blessed in what you do? In Sunday school this morning, we talked about redeeming the time, that our days upon this earth are numbered. And certainly I want to be blessed, but also, and they're not in conflict with one another, they're complementary. I want to please the Lord. In Matthew 7, we read this, "Everyone who hears these words of mine," Jesus, of course, is the speaker, "everyone who hears these words of mine and," what? "Does them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the rivers came, and the winds blew and fell against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." This is the experience of one who hears the words of Christ and does them. Another interesting interaction with Jesus and the people. found in Luke chapter 11 reads this way. Now it happened that while Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Dear friends, our sins are the spots which the law discovers, and Christ's blood is the laver which the gospel shows. Let us be a people who hear the word of God. That is of inestimable importance. But we have a responsibility not to stop there. We need to put it into practice. Where we have failed, let's go to the Lord in repentance, asking his forgiveness. Jesus told the churches to repent, and repent doesn't simply mean to feel conviction for sin, to feel sorry for sin. It certainly includes that. That's important. But it also means to turn and to do differently. So let us be hearers and doers of the word, receiving the word of God and looking for God to bless us in all that we do. I'll lead us in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, written a long time ago, and yet it speaks to our hearts. It is fresh and new and at the same time timeless. And Father, we thank you that you changed our lives. We thank you that you made our ears attentive to the word of God some time ago, and it landed with impact, and we received it not as the word of man, but what it really is the word of God. And we thank you that you have changed our lives. And we thank you that, Father, for our genuine desire to love you with all of our being and to love our neighbors. But Father, at the same time, we recognize that we fall short daily. As we read not only the two most important commands, but as we get into other specific commands, we are enlightened where we fall short. We are enlightened about your righteousness and holiness. And Father, we ask you for forgiveness for where we have willfully neglected to do what your word says. Please forgive us, dear Father. And we thank you that as we confess our sins, you are faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, we thank you that you do bless us. And we don't presume on your blessing, but we do anticipate it because of your character. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.